Stewardship, a Mission of Faith presents Gospel Reflection. Gospel Reflection is a one-hour weekly gathering with prayer and the breaking open of the bread of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of those participating, lives are changed, renewed, and transformed. Please join with us now for this week's Gospel Reflection.
If you don't mind, we're going to begin. We always like to begin with the petition. Do you mind doing our petition?
Sure.
And then do you mind doing our Jesus prayer for unity?
Please, Lord, allow each of us gathered here in this room to be an instrument and the answer to your prayer of unity, so that each of us, united as one, may be a light that leads to you.
And we pray back scripture here. I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me through their word, so that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them even as you loved me.
Awesome. With that, we'll open up the little prayer book. And in the inside cover, we're going to pray the Come Holy Spirit prayer. What's beautiful about these groups are it's not about a Bible study. It's about an opening of the Holy Spirit to sacred scripture, the bread of life, and then a free flow sharing of that, you know, from each of the members. With that, and I'll begin with it if you don't mind, and we'll all respond with the italics. Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful.
And kindle in them the fire of your love.
Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And you shall renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct us to thy faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And then a prayer that's really helped me stay centered each week is a litany of humility. And do you mind leading it? And we'll all respond with the right-hand column.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me.
From the desire of being esteemed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being loved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being acclaimed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being honored,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being praised,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being preferred,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being consulted,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being approved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being valued,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being humbled,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being despised,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being dismissed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being rejected,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being defamed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being forgotten,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being wronged,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being suspected,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From resenting that my opinion is not followed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
That others will be loved more than I,
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be esteemed more than I,
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will increase in the opinion of the world while I diminish,
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be chosen while I am set aside,
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be praised while I am overlooked,
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be preferred to me in everything,
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, though you were God, you humbled yourself to the extreme of dying on the cross to set an enduring example to the shame of my arrogance and vanity. Help me to learn your example and put it into practice so that, humbling myself in accordance with my lowliness here on earth, you can lift me up to rejoice forever in heaven.
Amen. And then a prayer puts a pen about 1084. We're going to go paragraph by paragraph. If you mind starting, and we'll just come around the room clockwise.
Okay. Lord, I believe in you. Help me to believe more firmly. I trust in you. Help me to trust more surely. I love you. Help me to love you more ardently. I am sorry for my sins. Help me to deepen my sorrow.
I worship you because I came from you. I long for you because you made me for yourself. I praise you as my ever-present helper. I call on you as my powerful protector.
So guide me with your wisdom, correct me with your justice, comfort me by your mercy, and defend me with your power.
Lord, I offer you my thought to be centered on you, my words to speak of you, my actions to do your will, my suffering for your sake.
I want whatever you want because you want it, the way you want it, as long as you want it.
Lord, enlighten my mind, strengthen my will, purify my heart, and sanctify my spirit.
Enable me to regret past offenses, resist future temptations, overcome wayward tendencies, cultivate needed virtues.
Lord, in your goodness, grant me the grace to love you and forget myself, to seek my neighbor's good and despise the seduction of the world.
Teach me to obey those in authority, serve those under my care, look after my friends, forgive my enemies.
Lord, help me to overcome pleasure by austerity, greed by generosity, anger by self-mastery, and apathy by fervor.
Make me prudent in planning, unwavering in danger, patient in adversity, unassuming in success.
And keep me, Lord, attentive at prayer, moderate in food and drink, energetic in my work, and firm in my resolutions.
Enable me to keep my conscience clear, my bearing modest, my dealing exemplary, my life well ordered.
Lord, let me be alert to tame my natural instincts, foster the life of grace, keep your law, and win salvation.
Teach me how trivial worldly interests are, how momentous the kingdom, how brief temporal concerns are, how lasting life eternal.
Lord, help me to prepare for death, fear judgment, escape hell, and reach paradise.
Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Awesome. And with that, now we'll read the gospel and then take a minute or two to reflect on it. Anything that's enlightening your heart about it, share about it. We started to do it, we put it at the bottom of it now. How does this gospel reading speak to your heart, literally, then and now, spiritually, morally, and in the life example of Christ? And those are all good points to look at as the gospel is read. And with that, we'll begin. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one whom I said, a man is coming after me, who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me. I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and have testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Ponder on those two lines there. I did not know him. And then again, I did not know him, but the one who sent me told me. What do you think he means by those? Literally? Figuratively? They were somewhat related, if you think about it. Maybe second cousins or something like that because of John the Baptist.
Do you think he meant, like in some type of translation, I don't know,
that he didn't know this was the Son of God, this guy that he knew was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. See, I have trouble with that, because even pre-birth, the Spirit told him that this was who this was. He leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb when Mary came. I've always just tended to think that while Mary went to visit Elizabeth, when they were both pregnant, they probably didn't meet again. Then travel was a difficult thing. It's possible that even though they were family, they didn't see each other. And he didn't really know him. I don't know. Yeah. That's just has always been my assumption based on this.
I mean, when I read it twice, I did not know him. I did not know him. I kept thinking about that. And I like to bring everything forward to today. I know he likes to play volleyball.
You know about me.
I know about you. I know his skill sets, but do I really know him? And I think if we look at Christ, we can know a whole lot about him. We can read about him. We can study him. But I think what this is doing for me, it's calling me to a deeper level. Because even though John the Baptist, as his cousin, and was in fairly close proximity, together we believe, probably played with him, probably did a lot of things with him, as the families in those days typically would have stayed near to each other or close to each other. He knew a lot about him, but he truly didn't know him. And this revelation by God that, that this was the one, took him into a deeper level of intimacy and personal knowledge of Christ. And I think that's the challenge point for me. And I really look at this, and this also gives me hope, because John the Baptist later on in scriptures then sends messengers once he's in prison. Once something bad happens to him in his life, he's in prison, and he says, well, is he really? And so, as I said, messengers, and the messengers came back and gave him that reassurance. And I think it's a challenge point to each of us. As we face our trials and our tribulations, we may have questions. Is Christ really hearing my prayers? Is he really present in my life? Can I really go to him? And that's where this gives me great comfort, because, even in the tough time of John the Baptist later on in Scripture, what ended up happening, ultimately he lost his life. It gives me great hope that even he questioned, but then he came back to the understanding and the realization that he was the Christ. So I think for me it's a challenge point, do I really truly know him? And I think it's that for me to know more, I need to invest that time.
That's right.
I need to invest it. I need to be personal, one-on-one time. Groups are great, but it's that one-on-one intimacy. And that's where for me it's a daily learning more about the heart of Christ. So those are the two that I circled when you said that. I don't know if that helps anybody, but that's what really stuck out to me, because, he got knowledge in the womb as a baby. He probably got glimpses of things throughout. But again, we are so quick to forget how God did such a miracle in our life or did something beautiful. How quick do we forget those moments and focus on the tragedy, tough things of the world, and lose focus, and lose focus on who and what Christ is in our life. That's what I saw. Sorry for being long-winded.
I see this as kind of to put it in application even today, as kind of so they did not know him, but God told him that where the Holy Spirit, when you see the Holy Spirit come down and remain on him, it kind of reminds me, I wrote down about the supernatural power of God to reveal things to us that we would not otherwise know. Because he would not have known who Jesus was, but God revealed it without someone introducing him. I mean, it's amazing how God can work through he can work through people, but His Holy Spirit can impress on you and show you things that you would otherwise not know. And when people talk to you and tell you things, sometimes you become defensive. And when God talks to you, you know, a lot of times you accept a little better.
You don't try to tell people that he did not know Jesus physically when they are alive. He did not know Jesus. He knew that Jesus, their mother, their relative, but he did not know Jesus. But through the Holy Spirit, why he became to know Jesus. And here John shows us that the teaching that he received from the Holy Spirit helped him to know Jesus. The word that he was told him, the way he's going to know Jesus, he held them for his mind, believe on it. And now when Jesus came to him, through the Holy Spirit, help him to recognize Jesus. And at this letter, I'm so... it's like touching me that I found that we cannot know God through our knowledge, through our high education, or our degree. That cannot make us to know Jesus. But we can know Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And we can... And we know God through the Holy Spirit is when we take our own time to come before God and learn from Him, study the Word of God. Like now, come here and study in this building. Is something important for my life, because when we are coming here to learn about God, this is the way that we can know God. Take a time with God. And that's what I found that. Now, John the Baptist tried now to tell people how he became to know Jesus Christ. Because God took him to the wilderness and taught him. And after taught him, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he said that the one, he said that I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. All this I'm saying, I received it from God. I think this is the way for we also, we can know God indeed when we come before him. And they become disciples or the land of God.
Well, I think that it's the only way we can truly know Christ is through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We can read and we can hear, but, and that's the way we know of him, like we were saying before.
Yeah. Because now,
but only through the revelation of the Spirit can we truly know him. I started to write down that reflection, and I went on to say, and the result for John was that he then testified to everyone he saw. His ministry, in a way, changed. He had been baptizing for the redemption of sins, and at this point it seems that now his preaching became, this is the Son of God. And his testimony became of who Jesus is, became the primary focus. And my reflection was, when I met Christ, when I came to know him through the Holy Spirit, to what degree did the result become that for me? Do I tell others who Jesus is, or for whatever reason, do I hold back? And what would God really have me do with that information of who Jesus is? I can tell you, I don't follow through to the degree that God would want me to. And I should.
And what really convicted me when you said that is, do we speak our loudest in our actions? That's what we hear. You can say all the pretty words, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm that. But do our actions testify?
Well, and they need to go together.
Yeah.
Because we can live good moral lives and not know Christ.
Yeah.
And not show God to other people. They have to know the source of our actions. So they go together.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In the, as I was reflecting, I was looking at the part where it says, John wanted, he said, the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. Not that John would be made known to Israel, but that Christ would be made known to Israel. And, I think about that in my life. Do I want people to know about me? Do I want people to know, you know, a difference I'm making? What am I doing? What's my life about? Or do I really introduce people to Christ through me? And is Christ the one that's making the difference? Rather than talking about myself, am I talking about God? And I think that oftentimes I'm doing things for myself. I'm doing things because I want to make a name for myself. And I'm not doing things because I want Christ to be the one that gets the glory. And that's a challenge. I think John's humbleness was incredible. And each time we do the litany of humility, you know, sitting there thinking to myself, why do you do it every time? I don't like it. Because it's a challenge. And that humility is something that John truly lived and understood.
What comes to mind here for me a little bit different, the last sentence, now I have seen. I think of the Apostle Thomas when Christ appeared to the apostles after the resurrection, doubting Thomas, blessed are they who have not seen. You know, we talk about, you know, how the Holy Spirit, how we have to know Christ through the Holy Spirit. We don't have that luxury, let's say, of actually seeing what John saw or what the Apostle Thomas saw. But we still can see and believe in a different way. And we're called to see and believe in a different way. So, you know, I look at it just a little bit differently there. With what happened with John the Baptist. But he did see. Now I have seen and testified that he's the Son of God. We are not physically going to see that, but in our own way, we can become believers by knowing the Holy Spirit and learning that way.
And you know, when you said that, I looked down and I was like, spiritually, I believe that perhaps John has saw Christ numerous times throughout his life, but saw him with his eyes, saw him in that example, life example. But when your eyes spiritually start to open and you start to see Christ at work in your life, that to me is powerful, because then he testified to that. And I think so many of us have God stories, God moments, things that happened in our lives. And when we share those, people hear those in their hearts. Because they're our stories. They're what happened to us. So I think that word, when you stayed on that word seen, I think that's true. When God gives us that grace and that gift to actually truly see Christ at work in the smallest of ways in our life, and we begin to see, and for me, I can't help but testify to who he is in my life, and it continues to change me.
That pulled a string of something that Paul said in the same way. In 2 Corinthians, he says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Because if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's that difference between... In 1 Corinthians, he told the... he was writing about the people that they were puffed up with their knowledge, and he is saying that there's a knowledge of the Spirit, and it's the spiritual man who has the discernment. And so you can make all your list of all the things that are physically observable and still not see the truth. And the single thing that just goes to my heart when I read this is that here's John, and I think it had probably been a while at this point since he had seen Jesus, even if they grew up together, because he was a Nazarite, and he was removed from society, and he had been out in the wilderness eating locusts and the wild honey and dressed like a hippie, and now he's on the scene. And one thing that John learned when he was alone was the voice of God in contrast to all the other voices.
Right.
And I live in a world where my mind is besieged with all the other voices. Whether it's the sports clatter that's going on, the political clatter that's going on, just the family dramas that we have, many of them legitimate, some of them superfluous, but none of them. God can speak through some of those other voices, but to hear the voice of God, you have to stop and be able to discern. This is a different voice I'm hearing, and John was able to do that.
You know, when you shared that, I was thinking, this week I got hit pretty hard on Monday and Tuesday with events in my life, things in my life, and I had to stop the church 3 times in 2 days to get quiet time, to get focused, to hear the voice of the Lord. And I look at that, and I think about Christ. What did he do? He went out into the wilderness, went into the desert, went into the inner room. He tried to tell us, went into the inner room of our hearts. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what I believe. You have to have that quiet time. You have to detach. I'm telling you, if I'd have stayed with the noise of the world, Monday and Tuesday for me would have been a disaster. And I knew it. And I called them attacks. Kept happening. I'm like, man, I'm getting beat up here. And I had to go and just take quiet time in silence and just be at peace with God. And I'm telling you, I think that's such tremendous insight that you saw there. The other word that I circled to take us on a little bit of a different pathway, behold the Lamb of God. And I circled Lamb and I put it in a whole different perspective, because we are to be like Christ. And Christ was a Lamb. He was innocent, dependent on God, obedient to God, surrendered to God, fully trusted in God. And I just wrote down, knew the voice of God, who was his shepherd. And I think, you know, as we're to be like Christ, Christ was like a lamb. And that to me, you know, am I dependent on God for everything? Obedient to God? Surrendered to God? Am I listening, following him as my shepherd? And do I trust him with my life, with everything? And that just was a reflection I had as, at the beginning, is just looking at the word, the Lamb of God, and we're to be like Christ.
I had a similar thing of John being in communication with God. So it wasn't that God was in communication with John, because he's always in communication with us, so John was listening, right? So then I started writing down, well, what does that take? It takes time. You said spend time. It takes listening, not just yapping. It takes us to make an effort, being open to that, and not to process it. I don't mean not to process it, not to think about it, but not to make it into a process. So then I thought about this. How would my wife like it if I just spoke to her on a schedule, once or twice per day for a certain amount of time, like I do my devotions? Go through my day saying, oh, I've already spent time with you. I got what I need, or I gave you what you asked for, as in, you know, the law or the prescription. But a relationship, not dependent on the law, but through a desire, a devotion, and a love. Because Jesus said, I will be with you always. So if he's always there, it's either I'm turning it off and he's still talking, or it's too noisy for me to hear, you know, get away, that type of thing. So just the conviction of the time that I spend with him is how much I'm filled up. Or do I just relegate him to, oh, I got you in the morning and I got you in the evening, and I can take care of it from there.
The way you're saying that brings to mind the analogy of that radio channel. And are we tuned? Even though other things are going on around us, are we tuned to that voice that's always here? Or do we, is like you said, is the noise of everything else too loud and drowning it out? Or have we changed the channel?
Yeah, even worse yet, I only tune it to that spot when I feel that I want to.
Right.
Or on a schedule.
It should be tuned.
And God's knocking there and says, hey, where'd you go?
Tune me in.
The other thing I think we could learn from this, and learn from John, tremendous humility. I agree so much with you every time we read and see and hear about John. But it's also his acceptance and his yes to the will of God. And sometimes, just again, briefly meditating on what you're saying, sometimes for folks it's not, do I have the time? You know, can I do this? Can I be in tune? Sometimes there's an intimidation. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve. And I know I put myself in that bucket at times. I don't deserve this. I am not worthy. John feels that way and expressed that, particularly in last Sunday's gospel, last week's gospel. But he listened. He surrendered to God's will. And I think that's a major lesson for us as well. I know it is for me. I think so many times, particularly in situations where we are asked to do something or we are asked to help, assist somebody that we feel is above us, is already attained a certain level. Again, I think as a child, realizing that my father needed help doing stuff as he was getting older. There's an acceptance to that, an understanding, a realization that, yeah, you know what? I'm being asked to do something, and I've accepted it. I'm accepting it willingly. So again, what this gospel showed me as last week's is we have to surrender to God's will. And John did that. Although I feel, based upon what he's been saying the last couple of weeks, he was somewhat uncomfortable with it at first. He surrendered.
And I think that's also about beholding the love of God. I see that John was calling Jesus the Lamb of God, and for Israel, what the Lamb means. Because the Lamb means for them that he was to take away the sin of people, because the Lamb was to be killed when somebody did sin. To take the sin away, you have to kill the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is what to cleanse your sins. And then you feel that now, God, forgive me. And John called Jesus the Lamb of God, and this was the beginning of the good news of John before Jesus started to preach. And John already showed people that Jesus is going to become the Lamb of all Israel, the Lamb of all people, that is going to cleanse their sins and make them to receive forgiveness. And this is a big theology through John for calling Jesus the Lamb of God. Show that Jesus is going to be crucified.
When John makes this statement here at the beginning of this reading, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he, in essence, prophesies about the end of Jesus' life. Do you think he understood what that meant? That when he called him the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world, did he understand that Christ was going to have to be sacrificed? Or was this a revelation that, I think a lot of the Old Testament prophets, they were given the prophecy, they were given the word of the Lord, and they faithfully told the people, but did they fully understand what it was they were saying? They were being faithful to God in proclaiming that revelation, but did they understand? Later on, we see John when he's in prison and he is questioning and maybe doubting, and if he truly understood, being human, that could very well have happened anyway, but I don't know. It's a question in my mind.
Yeah.
Did he understand what this meant truly would have to happen in order for Christ to be that Lamb of God and to take away the sins of the world? Even in his earthly ministry, Christ forgave sin, but not for all the world at once, mm-hmm. on an individual basis. And he didn't do it for everybody that he met. But here the statement is for the sins of the world, for everybody. And that could only happen through his death.
What I see is relevant, I think, is that sometimes we can come to the very tough temptation that can confuse us, can make us doubt that God is not together with us.
And we speculated when we had that reading several weeks ago, we speculated whether John's understanding of the Messiah was like most of the rest of the Jewish world, and he was going to be a king who sets up his kingdom and reigns at that time, when really that wasn't what Jesus was doing. So, again, I'm not sure.
When you asked that question, I think what where I went to is that he made to be named known to Israel. Israel was waiting for the promised land, prefigured in Abraham with his son. You know, Abraham, who would have been prefigurement of God, the Father, taking his son for the sacrifice to God, put the wood on his back, which would have been the symbolic of Christ. Mm-hmm. But then Abraham prophesied and said to his son, God will provide the lamb. So I think what he was saying here, when he proclaimed Jesus the Lamb of God, was that, hello Israel, the lamb you've been waiting for, this is him. He is the Son of God, the Father, prefigured in Abraham, prefigured in his son. Do I think he knew the depth and the magnitude of what he was saying? I don't think so. But I think that's what the Spirit inspired him to say, to bring that message to Israel. That's the correlation I see. That's the correlation I saw. That's who was speaking. They would have known the Old Testament. They'd have known Abraham. They'd have known the whole. That would be my understanding.
Yeah, but would they have drawn that connection? I don't know. They may have drawn that connection. And then, what would they have understood? It's fascinating, isn't it? What would they have understood when he said, this is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world? Well, whoever spoke about someone taking away the sin of the world? I don't know. I mean, was that ever part of the Messiah? Well, maybe, right? Isaiah, it's not enough that I make you... how is it a light to my people? I'll make you a light to the world or to the nations. You know, maybe. But still, I mean, this message to the people who heard it, they must have been just like, what is this guy talking about? You know, the sin of the world is so bold. And then when he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, what was that? You know, I mean, baptism with water, they were pretty familiar with, but what was the Holy Spirit? What was that? I mean, it must have been really startling to his hearers. And I think it's that must have made it none the easier for John to have proclaimed it. You know, how often do we, when we, as we were saying earlier, you know, we have to proclaim our experience of Christ, but how difficult that is when you know that proclaiming that experience, it's gonna, people look at you like, what planet are you from? You know, what are you talking about? That's just not, and they have so many filters that it's. And I don't know, I mean, it happens to me, and that's my job, you know? I hesitate. I think, gosh, what am I going to...
how am I going to present this? Am I going to be rejected? Are people just going to look at me like I'm crazy? And I have to admit, sometimes I just kind of shut myself in and, you know, lay low, fly below the radar, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of how people are going to receive the message and the start of the, you know. I'm afraid I'm going to make them uncomfortable. And I'm sure John made a lot of people uncomfortable.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine. I mean, I'm trying to put myself back in the day of John. And like you said, they didn't know what's the Holy Spirit. They didn't, you know, where are all these connector pieces?
Yeah.
That was a bold proclamation.
What I'm learning here, John was prophesied the death of Jesus Christ. And before that, it was happened for him. The death, when the death came for him, he was in a prison, facing death, which was pointing that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And that started from him. It was time for his soul. And making confession. Because what he was saying happened for him first. And this is some, most of the time when we are saying that we are going to heaven, we are worship God. When come to the die, now you are going to die. It's not easy. It confuses us when you become terrible sick, you know that your sickness is not being cured, you're going to die. It's tough. But still, the Holy Spirit is the one who is helping us to understand all these things. Not for our knowledge, but through the Holy Spirit. Like John testified here that everything that he was saying, it was told by the Holy Spirit.
I think in practical life here today, too, with the question at the bottom here, it's good that we have eyewitness accounts. Because we have to believe, I mean, John was an eyewitness. And we believe that in the Scripture, it's written in the Scripture. It says, blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. But if we didn't have those eyewitness accounts of seeing Jesus and knowing that those things, I think in a practical thing, at least for me today, is that there are eyewitness accounts all through the Bible, especially in the Gospels, of being with Jesus, seeing Jesus, and knowing that he's real. You can talk with him. He talks to you, and in spirit, and you know, it just makes it real. You know, we read history of people that we've never met, and we believe that history. But there's probably more evidence and more eyewitness accounts written about Jesus than there are about most other people in the world. And so it's just good that we have those eyewitness accounts, and I think that's one of the practical things we can take from this, is that John was there, he's seen Jesus. He says, I know the Spirit came like a dove and sat on his head. I know he was the Son of God. Because God told me when I see that he's the Son of God. So.
Yeah, and not only was it an eyewitness, but he testified. Because a lot of people saw Jesus. But how many, I mean, of all the thousands of people who saw, how many actually testified with the conviction and the strength of John, so that their account has arrived to us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, thanks to John, really. Well, and, you know, the Apostle John and the others who were close to Jesus who decided to take the trouble to write these things down. You know, mm-hmm. I mean,
that's why we're sitting here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Take that away, we don't have to think.
Exactly, how much we owe to them. I mean, that was huge. Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. Aren't we now the messengers that bring back the good news of the stories of Christ that work in our lives? And if we remain silent, when you hear a story, a God story, Doesn't your heart come to life? Don't you feel renewed with hope? You know, I mean, I hear these different stories from all walks of life, people. It gives me hope. It just fills me up. And I think we become the messengers, and then we have a choice. Testify and share the story of the good news of Jesus Christ working in our lives mm-hmm. with those who doubt, with those who question, with those who are in the prison of sin. That's what I see.
Because it is, we live in such an information age, but I think humanity's always been curious. But it's not a matter of just getting the facts, and even how much John himself understood is not the issue here. The Holy Spirit had come upon this man in a way that had not been done in Israel for a couple of centuries or more. And people knew the difference. The difference between, and I know the difference. I know the difference when I'm sitting in church and I'm hearing a homily, or I am hearing from someone who is passing on to me, he has been with the Lord, and he's now being a channel.
Yes.
And you're right. We are an incarnational faith, and we have a message to tell, but not simply telling the message. We tell the message as the message transforms us, and we are always speaking out of that dynamic. Mm-hmm. And that dynamic is what comes to us from the church, and then we give it back to the church, and it becomes productive in a very expansive way. But without that, and later Jesus would speak. And they would say, you know, what's this? He would speak from the scriptures, and Jews always heard from the scriptures in the synagogues.
Right.
But Jesus would speak, and they'd say, we're hearing authority. We're hearing life.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're hearing authority. Life. And that's what John had been touched by. That's what he saw coming in Jesus, and that's what Jesus has come to give us.
And I think what a friend of mine said, the verbiage he used is, the Spirit in you recognizes the voice of the Spirit in the other.
Right.
Yeah, and that is so, so true. It was so beautiful. That moment actually happened at Lancaster Bible College when Christopher West shared with all these theologians around the table we gathered. And, you know, this was Catholics coming together with Protestants. And Christopher West shared a 2-hour message. He's a Catholic young man that teaches on marriage and theology of the body. And it was beautiful because the Spirit in the men at Lancaster Bible College heard the Spirit in Christopher West and knew they heard truth. There was no lines, no divisions, no walls. Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful, I'll never forget it. And that's the beauty when someone speaks from their heart that truth of the Spirit. You know. And we're about out of time, but go ahead. Last wrap-ups.
What you were saying, the first thing you said that got me thinking was, it's not, the issue isn't what John understood or didn't understand. And that simple statement just made me think, in a way, it is important though, because there's times, and I've heard people say, and it's been true of myself, that I hold back mm-hmm. because there's things I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we have to, even though we don't understand everything, we still have to be faithful and
obedient.
And right, mm-hmm. obedient. Tell other people. John may not, I tend to think, probably didn't understand the ramification, the full meaning behind this mm-hmm. statement that Jesus was the right. Lamb of God who will yeah. take away the sins of the world.
Right.
But he proclaimed it.
But he proclaimed it. He did what the Spirit told him,
right.
and he proclaimed it. So. If he had said, well, I have to understand that before I tell
right.
other people because they're going to ask me.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah.
Maybe so I shouldn't say that.
I'm going to hold that one back. He didn't do that.
And we would never say anything.
Right.
About God? That's certainly true.
Yeah.
And I always get that imagery when you share things like that. Father shares the word fear. Because I know in my life, fear controls me too many times. You know, I can't say that. You know what? really shouldn't do that, you know what? And so, and I always go back to the image of Peter in the boat, and that's where I always say, you know what? Keep your eyes focused on Christ. Step out of your boat. Step out of your comfort zone. Trust God. If you're in that communion with the Holy Spirit, trust God. Step out of that boat. And you'll know as you're speaking if it's that purity of heart even coming out of you. And if it's not, you're going to know it, because of that Holy Spirit in you is going to be throwing up all kind of flags.
Yeah, I think what you say is true. Because also when you see John, the disciple of Jesus Christ, he testifies the same, that they will walk with Jesus, they eat together, they see him, but it's not mean that they know him deeply. You only say that when he will appear for us, we will know him for his later. When he tested for his later, saying that when Jesus will appear the second time, when he will come back, we will know him. But we are going with the word, with the belief that the word is from God, from heaven, and the word is true. And what the word says is the way we have to believe it, that it's true and it's going to happen the way it's telling us.
And you know, this just makes my life one big great adventure, because I learn more about God every day. I am such a babe in the woods in learning. Yeah. It's like, and every time I do, I'm like, wow, I never saw it that way. And that's what I love about these groups, because I learn every time I come. The Holy Spirit keeps opening up Scripture, the bread of life, deeper and deeper, and I love it. Any other reflection before we go to prayer attention?
At this point in our gospel reflection meetings, we invite those present to share requests for prayer that God has laid on their hearts, and then we pray for those requests. We encourage you at this time to pause this recording and pray for those people and circumstances that the Lord is bringing to your mind right now. Once you have finished praying, please restart the recording and join us in our closing prayers. Please pause this recording now.
We pray as he taught us, Our Father.
Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
And then if anyone, whoever chooses to join with us, we always like to ask Mary to pray for us, each one of the brothers of Jesus. And so we begin with the Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the glory be.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you very much, everybody.
We hope that your life has been enriched by listening to the recording of this edition of Gospel Reflection. If this recording has helped you on your faith journey, please prayerfully consider participating in a Gospel Reflection group. For information on locations, times, group startups, phone participation, CDs, DVDs, and downloading, please visit our website at www.stewardshipmission.org. and click on Gospel Reflection Groups. While visiting our site, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making your tax-deductible donation. Thank you, and may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.